How do we open this episode up? How do we start this? Do you want to hear the good news and some of my funny story bad news about me?
Let's start with the good news.
The good news. All right, the good news is I got married. I eloped. Air horn sounds. Celebratory sounds everywhere.
And this is the part where I would normally freak out if I hadn't seen a spoiler right before recording.
Prior to recording, I was going to tell her, don't look at your thing. Don't look at your iPad, phone, whatever. Do not look. And then I'm trying to write this post for social media so the whole world knows. And then Catherine goes, wait, you eloped? And I'm just like, I'm screaming angry that Catherine found out.
Shouldn't have posted it, it was right before you record.
It was going to be content. Going to be content. I was like, let's do it after the podcast. That was the smarter play. But yeah, I eloped. I got married.
That's crazy.
I've been married for about a month. More than a month.
You are a married man now, huh?
Yeah. Friday the 13th.
How's it feel? Does it feel different?
No.
It does not feel different. Same thing.
Same thing. You're definitely a lot more open because you're with this person till you die or you decide to divorce or cheat. It's either of those three. And so, you know, we talk more. A lot more open about, like, you know what? I'm not happy about this. And then we apologize because our emotions are valid.
That's
feelings
good.
Are valid,
that's
guys.
Good. That sounds healthy. It sounds healthy.
Communication all the way through. I'd be like, yo, you know that food you made last night? Ass. And I'd be like, damn, you're right. I should have put more salt. Communication.
And
communication,
that's a healthy guys. Relationship, ladies and gentlemen. I love it.
Sodium and love.
We love to see it.
Cheers to marriage. As I pop my not sponsored bubbly.
Oh my God.
Not sponsored.
You and your seltzers, alcoholic or not.
It was either this or coffee. And it is 6 o'clock.
It's not 6 o'clock.
Oh, shit. I'm losing time, dude.
For all those listeners out there, it is 7:22 p.m.
All right. You want to hear the funny story today?
Let's hear it.
All right. So we are looking for a house. So today, woke up early. We'll talk more after about this whole marriage thing. We were looking at houses today, this morning, woke up early, saw a few houses we didn't really like. We're driving to the last house, and I get a text from my boss saying, hey, did you know you work today? And I was like, and I called her. I was like, when am I in, dude? And she was like, I was like, am I night shift? And she's like, no, you're 11 to 7. No, to 6. And it is 11:30.
Oh, no.
And I was like, holy shit. But I have the coolest boss ever. The same boss who got me a Keanu Reeves Christmas ornament. Shout out. Shout out. Yeah, she was like, no, don't stress. Don't worry. Come in when you can. Nothing's crazy. Everything's fine. Don't stress out. I was like, I'm in the middle of trying to find a house. And she's like, it's totally fine. Don't worry about it. Fast forward 2 hours later. I get to work. I showed up 2 hours late. And I show up and my boss says, I'm sorry I ruined your day.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I should be apologizing. I'm sorry for being late. And the funny thing was, she just, that night prior, she just finished our employee reviews, our yearly reviews.
Oh, my God. Calculated. You were very lucky. You were very lucky.
I am blessed.
You were so blessed.
Bless up.
I asked my boss for an evaluation a week ago because I was supposed to have one like a month ago, and he never gave me one. And I'm like, are we gonna do that? Are you gonna give me that evaluation? He's like, do you want one? I'm like, okay, cool, great. Thanks for the feedback.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Oh man, it is tough out there, man. But I am fortunate to be married to the woman I love so much, the woman of my dreams, the woman who fucking won't listen to my podcast. It's the best marriage ever so far. She refuses to be on it. She refuses. And I'm trying so hard. I was like, if you're going to be part of this journey, you got to be part of the journey with the podcast too.
Does she? Does
Comes
she,
in
though?
The bundle. Yeah. Catherine's
name
was...
Well, she technically is part of the journey of the podcast because you just talk about her all the time.
Yeah, exactly. The podcast and Catherine's name was on the marriage license. It's on there. It comes with the package.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so today we're kind of winging it. Is there anything annoying happening to you, Catherine? Anything crazy?
I would have to go with the fact that my phone decided to completely break for good 10 days before I get a new one. That, I would say, is something that's really annoying me.
Nice.
Like, it couldn't hold on for 10 more days, really?
I know.
10 more days?
It was like, nah, I'm gonna give the fuck out right now.
So I'll just be here with my drug dealer, prepaid phone, you know. Yeah, I'll just be over here. If you need my new number, hit me up.
It's 571. Way to go. Mm-hmm. New phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was an easy one this week.
You know what else is easy? Talking about the 2000s. I was going to say marriage, but it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't say marriage is that easy.
It's the end of the year, Catherine. Ugh, I'm getting phone calls. Holy shit, man. I don't want to answer this.
Maybe you shouldn't have dropped huge news right before we recorded. That's just bad planning.
Hold on. Hello? All right, hey. By the way, I'm recording for the podcast, so this will be on the episode.
This is going to be on the episode?
Yes.
Well, I was just calling to say you're married, and congratulations, and that's amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad you are safe about it.
Right? Right? Oh, Rona free marriage? Woo! Yeah. Thank you.
Same way.
Bless up. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I'm so loved, man. This is crazy. This is crazy. So today, this is the final episode of 2020. Yeah. How does it feel? We did it. We kind of made it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was, you know, just yesterday that we were celebrating our first end of the year. But
dude,
it's been, what, 2 years?
Fucking no. It's 2 years.
It's been 2 years.
Talk about it. I was committed to the podcast before my relationship. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that just fucking crazy?
That is just fucking crazy.
End of the year. We thought we would kind of take a break from the 2000s for a bit and talk about the now. Because I feel like this year was very insane and important in music. And so we decided to make our top 10 albums of 2020.
It was also a very different year.
It was a very different year. It was
a lot of reasons,
new metal year for music. Dare I say it? Because I know I'm not wrong. I know I'm not wrong. So I have my list. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I guess, yeah. I think I have like one honorable mention, but it's hasn't been out very long.
Okay, I have a good handful.
Okay, do you want to start with yours?
Yeah, sure. So these are not so honorable mentions. It's not to say that they were bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that they like didn't make. Well, they obviously didn't make the cut, but to me, these were like albums that I still loved that were like very important to 2020. So I'm going to start at the bottom, which is not to say the least. Bring Me the Horizon, post-human survival horror.
I knew that would be on there somewhere.
That album is fucking fire. It is a slap to the face to people who heard their last album and thought that, oh, they're not metal anymore. They're just electronic. They went pop. And they're just screaming riffs and sounds into your ear holes. You know,
I love
and so it's a reminder. They also collabed with Baby Metal on Kingslayer,
ooh,
which is one of my favorite tracks, and they fucking ripped it. It is such a good album, and it just sounds so good, and it's incredibly well produced. Another one would be from one of my favorite rap producer duos, Blue in Exile. This album called Miles, and it's their third album together. The first album they made was in 2006, 2007. And this one's a really good jazzy smooth, like unfiltered raw hip hop sounds that I hear, and it's some of my favorite stuff. English electronic artist goes by the name of Joyride, who dropped an album this year in April or March, and his album is full of like, it's like nasty bangers. Like if I play you some, they just like so crunked up shit from like England. They just love that grimy sound. Here's a good one. Halsey's Manic is an honorable mention. I wanted to put it in top 10. It was originally a top 10, but I was like, nah, I think these other ones are kind of better. Yeah. But Halsey had such a personal album this year.
And I thought it, like, about that one, but I barely listened to it. So I felt like I really listened to it
a lot. It was it's a good album. Even though Halsey is a meme, you know. Aesop Rock, Spirit World Field Guide, underrated, not underground anymore, independent rapper who just knocks out the greatest production he's made, and like every album is a whole different sound. He's so good. The Watchmen soundtrack by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, obvious reasons. Plastic Hearts, Miley Cyrus, honorable mention. And The Weeknd, the After Hours album. Weeknd. Strong. It's a strong year, man. It's a it's been a great year for music.
Yeah. No, I agree. I will say before I start listing mine, a couple disclaimers. One, especially going back and looking at like my Spotify Wrapped and top songs, apparently the way I handled the stress of COVID and just this year in general was I just returned to old familiar music. I really didn't listen to a ton of 2020 music, and a lot of the music I did listen to was it was a lot of like individual songs and not albums as a whole.
Yeah.
So that being said, my list is extremely biased. It is purely, this is what I listened to and personally enjoyed. And this is by no means an objectively good list of albums. By no means. So if you disagree with me, that is cool. Don't be mad if you disagree with me, because like I said, this is purely just how I feel.
It is subjective.
And I am not known for having I feel like I don't have a very popular taste in music. I like weird niche things and then very popular things, and then like at the same time, and I don't know.
We share some.
Yeah, there is some overlap. There is some overlap. So I will say the one honorable mention I would say I have is the album Taylor Swift just dropped, Evermore. Because I listened to it the other morning, and that shit hit. But I haven't, really gotten to know it yet.
Is Evermore, like, the second album, like, the one she had, like, or is that the one she, like, recently dropped? Because I know Evermore's she had another. Evermore's
the one that just dropped, like, last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know she had talked about she had a second album, like, ready. Like, immediately. Yeah. So I don't know if that was the one. So it's Evermore. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was Folklore earlier in the year, and then Evermore. Just very recently, and it hit. It was just really good. I listened to the entire album before work one morning, and I just I just felt really at peace. It was a really good album. I like just the first listen through was solid, and I just haven't really gotten to know that album, so I don't know if I want to put it on like my top 10, because I'm like, well, I've listened through it once, but but it was really good, and I think she, in general, has been killing it this year, so I felt like I should give it a shout-out.
Yeah, I mean, so that's your number 10?
That's my honorable mention.
Oh, your honorable mention? Yeah. I mean, honestly, it seemed like I wish I found it prior if I knew you were going to mention her, but there's, like, a Twitter meme thing about, like, what each album represents, and it's, like, really hilarious. You saw that, right?
I've seen that specific one, because I'm not on Twitter a lot, but I've seen a lot of stuff similar to that with her different albums.
Yeah. It's, like her first album is, like, Yeehaw Country, and then, like, the second album is, like, Sex is Bad. It's just, like, it's, like the funniest shit ever.
Yeah, I need to see it, because especially with how off and on I've been with her throughout the ages, I would really love to see how that corresponds to me.
Oh, man. It is interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. So do you want to do your 10 first or my number 10 first?
We can go back and forth. We can go back and forth. So my number 10 is Flowers by, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Bea the Booty. And she created the most 90s album I've ever heard in the 21st century. It is incredibly, I don't know how she was able to find the tones, like the song structures, the chords, and just the overall sound of the 90s and put it in 2020. Because there are so many bands that attempt to replicate that sound really bad and fail, and she nailed it completely. And I don't know the secret. Is it the audio mixing, the engineering, is it the amps, is it just the crappy guitar sounds? Like, I want to know the secret, but it is my number 10. It is a strong 10. And the album is also 10 out of 10. Yeah, so bless up, because there's a lot of sad girl pop, but this one takes the fucking cake.
There's a ton. This was the year for sad girl pop. Like, sad, depressed, like you say, girl. It was the year for nu metal. I agree with that. I think it was also like a huge year for sad girl pop, sad 100%. Girl indie. Like, the sad girls came out this year and just fucking wrecked it.
Sad girl everywhere, dude. We're all sad girls, really.
I will say there's a fair amount of sad girl on my top 10, which is not like me. I'm not a huge sad girl.
I'm shocked.
Music person.
There
was so much good sad girl music this year.
Honestly,
like,
I feel
like I need to acknowledge it, you know?
Good sad girl vibes.
Yeah.
What's your number 10?
So my number 10 was Plastic Hearts by Miley Cyrus. Finally go and give it a listen. And part of it is, like, I don't even, like, it's a good album. It's solid. I don't think it's an album I'm going to listen to all the time, which is why it's, like, my number 10. Yeah. That being said, I think especially for Miley Cyrus and her journey, I think it's, like, very interesting in that way. I think she's going in a very interesting direction that is working for her.
I'm glad she's, like, going to a more rock root vibe. Exactly. I really think that's her calling.
Bring a really, like, fresh twist on, like, some classics, you know.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was a solid album. I enjoyed it. It's not one best, I think, dude. I'm going to listen to over and over again, though, which is why it's
the fucking 10. Best, dude. So my number 9 is RTJ4 by Run the Jewels. That album, they dropped it. This was like height of Black Lives Matter, the world falling apart during summer. They dropped this album for free, basically. They just like put it out for the people. And it's some of the heaviest production they've had since maybe their second album. And it just.
Their second album's good.
Their second album is amazing. And then if you haven't listened to the Meow mix of that second album, you should definitely give it a listen. All the beats are made from cat noises.
Well, I think one of the songs I did find this year that I listened to over and over again was a song from that album. I just never listened to, like, the full album.
Was Ooh La La. Because that's the one that was, like, on replay all the time.
Let me make sure it's from that album. Ooh, and I'm not just la, crazy. La. Because I think it was something that came up on my Discover Weekly or something, and that's how I found it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Just.
Just is bomb, dude. Yeah.
That song Just is good. Fucking slaps.
That shit knocks. It's
yeah,
so good.
So I never listened to the full album, but I did listen to that specific song a lot.
It's very good. Their chemistry is as strong as ever, and you can feel the anger behind, like, literally the first track where he talks about how he'd rather kill himself than be killed by a cop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's just like, it's a lot of heavy shit.
Yeah.
So that's my number 9. It's my number 9. My top 5 will not surprise you, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure it won't. And I think there is going to be a little bit of overlap with some of ours. Like, I mean, we both kind of have plastic cards in there.
Yeah.
So my number 9 is for extremely purely simple reasons, which is Under My Influence by the Aces. It's just a fun album.
The Aces.
It's just fun.
I have not gotten into them yet.
I do like the Aces. They're not ones I think I'm, like, super intense about or anything, but they're very much, like, they make fun music that I enjoy. They make some gay bops. You might see a theme among some of my choices.
Whoa, gay music?
I know. Well, even like the straight artists are still kind of gay, you know? Like,
pretty gay.
Like Taylor Swift.
Dude. Honestly, like, 5 years, we're going to find out. 5 years. Tops.
Do you know how many conspiracies there are about her sexuality?
She's going to put out a very gay album.
Yeah.
Very gay.
Yeah.
And on the cover is her and Kristen Stewart.
I mean, Folklore was already kind of gay. Let's be real.
Pretty gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Folklore's pretty gay.
Yeah. That being said, it's not like a very biographical album. So.
Facts.
But yeah, no, I just, Under My Influence, it just has some bops on it. It's a fun album. It's got a lot of good hits.
Yeah.
Period. That's it.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of our friends post up their top tens, and it's a diverse array of music in all top tens. Mm-hmm. And I can't disagree with them because they're good. And a lot of us share a lot of the same taste, a lot of same music.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is one that I haven't heard on anyone's top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel cool in having it. But I feel like me and like Sean were the only people who listened to this, was the Ohms by the Deftones.
I did not listen to that.
So I did, and I listened to it a lot for like a week. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing album. They got their producer from their second album to come back and do their shit, and it sounds amazing. I thought this album would suck. Like, I was like, this band hasn't made a good album in like when? And I heard it, and I was like blown away. I was like, yo, this shit goes hard. These guys are in their 40s. I was like, this shit sounds like they're still in their 20s. Like, it sounds so, it's so well produced, and it just sounds so sludgy. It's incredibly new metal.
The right producer can make like such a big difference.
100%.
Yeah.
Like the right producer can really change and drive your whole musical direction. Yeah.
I think a lot of times like the songwriters and the producers don't get enough like
credit. It really depends on the producer.
Like outside of the industry. Yeah. Well, like I just found out the other day that Brandi Clark wrote a bunch of some of my favorite country songs, and I'm like, I love that. And like, I was looking through and I'm just like, wow, like half of the songs that I just really love, she wrote. Of course she did. She writes lot for Kacey Musgraves. So
Kacey Musgraves,
yeah,
dog, she gonna drop a new album next year.
I'm really hyped for that. I'm so hyped for that. I need you to understand that.
I know. I'm well aware. Yeah. Calm down, Catherine. I know.
It's country music that people don't get mad at me for listening to.
Because it's good. You know what I mean?
It is good.
I'm waiting for Kacey to make a dream pop album.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
I'm waiting for it, man. Because I feel like her outfits are just all dream pop.
Oh, for sure.
I'm just waiting for her to just, like, float onto stage doing, like, Maisie Star covers. It's like, I would cry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's your number 8.
That's my number 8.
My number 8 is Midwest Kids Can Make It Big by Lauren Sanderson.
What?
Are you familiar with that one?
No. Educate me.
It's so she's a new artist. I think actually this is her first like album.
And album. You? New artist.
And actually I think my Spotify Wrapped was I forget the term that they used, but like this artist I specifically listened to before it hit 50,000 listens. So I'm like, cool, look at me, I'm special.
Whoa.
But it's good music. Some of it's like that sad indie girl stuff, but then some of it is I think leaning more on the side of like pop or even just like a little bit of rock, just like a teeny bit. But it's just, there. You get the fun songs, you get the sad songs, a little bit of the in-between, and it's just, I haven't listened to it for a while, but I listened to it a lot at the beginning of the year.
And
it's a really solid one. I think But I Like It is the name of my favorite one on that album, and that's
you should hook me up.
Yeah.
Let me get hip.
It's right. Yeah, but it's a good album, and I think especially for such a new artist, it was a really good strong debut. It was a strong debut, yeah. Okay. And it was one that I think not a lot of people, you know, really know about. Yeah. So I'm like, let me bring it up.
I knew them before they were big.
Yeah, I'm special.
All right, number 7. Number 7 is a shocker. Mm-hmm. Is a shocker even to my friends that I showed this list to.
Let's hear it.
Savage Mode 2 by 21 Savage, number 7. I'm not kidding you in how good this fucking album is. very few artists can make an album. So a lot of like trap style rap nowadays, a lot of it sounds the same. I get it.
Yeah.
But there's very few times when like hearing something that you've heard over and over sounds way better than the other stuff. And mm-hmm. this is one of those times. 21 Savage was almost deported. He finally got to work with... who do you work with? Why am I blanking on his name? I don't know. How do I... No, I refuse. I'm going to get criticized if I don't know. Hold on. I promise. But it's an amazing album with Metro Boomin. How do I forget his fucking name? Should have wrote it down. But the beats are so good. And he's really great. And he won a fucking Grammy like for his last album. So it's like he just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The dude's an amazing artist.
Yeah.
How he doesn't have a McDonald's meal yet is beyond me. But yeah, I mean, comeback story and dream collaboration between hottest producer out right now versus like long awaited new album from a really hot rapper. And it's just like explosion. Mm-hmm. And that shit, like when you feel like trappy, when you just like want your car to explode with like pure bass, Savage like Mode 2,
do.
Dude.
Like you
it,
do.
Like I do all the time. Savage Mode 2, it is fire. It is really, really good. And to any hip hop heads that really disagree and think hip hop's dead, you're fucking stupid as shit. Very stupid, you know. So get hip, guys, you know. Get fucking hip. It's a fire album.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stand by that. Like I'm not, that's me. To disagree with that would be wrong. It is an opinion, but you're incorrect.
Thank you for that clarification.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So my number 7 is How I'm Feeling by Love. Is that Love? I don't know how to say Love? His name. L-A-U-V. I don't know how Love. To say his name. I should have done more research on pronunciation. Because I'm gonna mispronounce some things for sure.
Some stan is going to be like, it's Love, stupid bitch.
I don't know. But it's, you know, I did. His is another album I listened to a lot this year. It's like... He's also, I noticed after making this list, is the only man on my list. He's the
Whoa,
only
the only one. Penis. The only penis.
Anyways, that's where I'm at this year. Yeah. And I will say, even though he is a man, still some sad girl shit. Like, this is some sad girl music.
Sad boy?
Tattoos together, slaps.
Oh, man.
It just, that already it just sounds like an emo solid song. Solid songs. Well, the thing is, it's like, but also the music isn't like sad girl shit in this type of way, like that, like Phoebe Bridgers is. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same tone musically. but like the theme of all the songs is especially like bittersweet. Often,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
my hair's a mess.
Yeah, it's like love songs when it didn't really turn into a love story, or like it didn't really go the way you wanted kind of thing, but it's not necessarily like a tragedy. I don't know.
It's like a reality. It's like realism playing out a little bit.
Yeah. It's a good album though. And it's one of those where it's like, I mean, all the songs on it are just really solid. And I've listened to the whole thing through a ton of times. Just overall great album. I listened to it a lot. Wanted to put
it's
it on.
Fire. It's fire.
Yeah.
So number 6, a little surprising. A little surprising. And I think you'll be surprised by this. It was very difficult to put this in number 6.
Okay.
It will be I Disagree by Poppy. I put it at number 6.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It is interesting, right? So everyone thought it'd be like my number 1. It's not, okay.
I didn't think it would be your number 1, but I thought it'd be pretty up there because you are a slut for Poppy.
I am. I stand this so hard.
Yeah.
Saw her live right before Rona got serious.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fire concert.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get out, and it's just like, oh, her voter registration came out that she's a Republican. I'm like, I don't know how you can fake being woke for so long.
Because
the way she talks about gender, and the way she talks about genre, and the way she talks about, like, people and human rights and equality, and her songs literally deal with gender and sexual identities, and it deals with like self-reflection and growth and like all a bunch of wild shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, I'm also a Trump voter. Like, you, like, it, like that does not compute.
Yeah, so it's...
as much as it could be real...
I feel like it's those people, where it's like... I feel like it's those people where it's like, I believe in, like, social, like, rights, like, social justice, but also... I don't want to pay taxes, so I will vote for Trump. Like, I feel, you know, I feel like it's like that kind of thing. It becomes a money thing, not like an like, actual beliefs thing.
I'm trying to keep my bread. Mm-hmm. I hope you understand. I'm trying to,
you know, like the sticker I bought for my work water bottle, compost the rich. Am I right? Just compost them, you know, eat them, compost, just, you know.
Honestly, new podcast slogan, compost the rich.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what if we get rich?
But the thing is, when I say rich, I'm not talking like, can walk into Whole Foods and not look at prices. Like, I'm talking like the 1%.
Okay, Catherine.
Right? Like, I'm talking the 1% where you have so much money, you could like...
buy an island.
Like... get rid of hunger in an entire city without it making a dent, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the kind of rich I'm talking about. That's not ethical. Jeff Bezos, I'm looking at you.
That'd be fire, though, being a billionaire. For like a day, like,
it'd be fire, but, like, you know, there are those people that's, like, they have so much money, they literally don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Did you know Goop, What's-Her-Face's thing?
I'm well aware.
There's a $2,000 Ouija board on it. $2,000
Ouija board?
Yeah.
We have to buy it, Catherine.
See, stuff like that.
Why,
like,
why am I buying a house?
Compost
when we could them. When
compost.
We could conjure we can conjure rich elite ghosts with a $2,000 Ouija board. Oh, what have we been doing this entire time, Catherine?
Just
we should have been pulling our cash and summoning the rich dead. That's what we should have been doing.
I just don't get it. Anyways, that's my rant about rich people.
Let's get ready for top five. Because this is where it gets real. This is like where it's real, real. This is where like top five means...
Wait, I haven't
means...
said my six yet.
Oh, shit. Because we were talking about rich people for this long.
I'm going to straight up... I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. I've never heard this name out loud. I don't know how to
Bruce?
Say it. And ahead of time, I am so sorry.
How do you say Bruce Springsteen?
But the album name is Sawayama.
Oh, yeah. Rina Sawayama.
Rina Sawayama. Thank
Rina
you.
Sawayama.
I wasn't sure if it was Rina or Rina.
But fucking goddess.
Goddess. She just loved that album. Love her. She recently dropped a single, Lucid. Have you listened to it?
No.
Ooh, it slaps.
If it's on her new album, I don't want to listen to
it. It is her new album, but it's her new album isn't out yet, is it? It's just that one single.
It's just the one album. She's only.
Well, no, she like just dropped this single recently after the album I'm talking about.
But yes, absolute goddess. Her album is fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfection. It is. It's new metal. It's post genre. The way Grimes would describe it is post genre. Like there is no genre to this album.
Yeah,
it is just
and I love that.
Amalgam
like I love
sounds.
That ability to be like sometimes a one album
to do
where
everything.
It's like I'm in a specific mood. Let me put on this album, mm-hmm. and then there are other days where I'm like, I just want to listen to some good music. And you know what? She delivers everything. That's what I liked about Lizzo's album from 2019, though, mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. that you know it was. It wasn't just one kind of music. You got a lot of different things in one album. And I always like that. Like, I always love that in an album. So
that's facts.
Yeah.
It's facts. All right. Top five for real this time. So top five is what I think is really top five of the year. And so there's maybe one or two in here that you don't hear in the top five, but this is just for me. So number five is Chromatica by Lady Gaga. That's number five for me.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
that. I didn't know what to expect from that album. I'd only heard Rain on Me and I didn't like it. And then I was like, I'm not gonna hear anything else until this shit drops in full. Heard the whole thing and I was just like, wow, mind blown. I'm mind blown. This album is everything. She created an album for music that I'm currently into. I'm into a lot of house music and a lot of dance music. And I was just hearing, and I was just like, what the fuck, dude? She's so good. She just knows. She knows mm-hmm. where the wave is.
Yeah.
You know, and then she puts herself into that wave and mm-hmm. makes it her own and creates her own wave.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, this is what that album is. And it's so good. Like, listening to Sour Candy with Blackpink, Replay, Enigma, that one song with Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, fuck. It's just so good.
Yeah.
It is an amazing, amazing album. Really, really no bad songs.
Mm-hmm.
No bad songs. You can only pick your favorites.
Fair enough.
Aside from Rain On Me, I don't think it's a good song. But that's just me. That's just my straight opinion. I'm sorry.
Well, my number five, I mean, I've already kind of talked about it, but it's Folklore by Taylor Swift.
Folklore. Yeah.
I do think it was pretty, I mean, it was huge in general. Like, it was, mm-hmm. this is obviously not, like, an exclusively me thing, but mm-hmm. where, like, Rina Sawayama's album was, like, genreless, Folklore is, like, this is what I'm doing. Like, it's a whole project.
Yeah. Quarantine.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it was just really good, and I love, like, kind of the idea behind it, where it's,
mm-hmm.
like, stories. It's not autobiographical, which I think is interesting, because so much of her other music is that, and I think this is, like, a very new thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the, like, content of the songs, but also the style of them and
you know,
this kind of sound she's going for, and I think it really worked for her, and it really made, like, it turned me on to her again, because like I said I've been very off and on with her all the time, and this really made me be like, oh, I like this direction she's going in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's good, like, relaxing, like, music vibe to.
Do you feel it's a very, like, like, she's grown a lot as an artist.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and so this is, like, a new, I wouldn't say mature path.
Yeah.
But I think a more, like, stripped down, like what am I really, who am I really as an artist?
Yeah.
Like, can I still be the same without all this, like, shimmering glam?
Yeah.
And just strip it down to, like, the core of
her music. That's what I appreciate about it so much, is because I think when she started getting all that, you know, glam, that's when I kind of started falling off a bit, because I think her as an artist, she doesn't need that. That being said, like, that doesn't mean she can't use it and make really good music with it, but it's I think it's a side of her that I missed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I want all of her music in the future to be like this, but to know that she can do this and have this be a sound that maybe she will continue doing at least a little bit in the future is very interesting to me. Yeah,
I'm excited to see where she goes from here. Like, dropping Folklore and then Evermore.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to see where this kind of takes off.
Yeah,
you know. So, blessings to T-Swift.
Yeah, she really
big baller this year.
Yeah, she fucking killed it this year. So good for her.
Honestly. Yeah. So what is number four? This is, like, one of my favorite albums of all year, and I think it's flawless. And we can fight in a parking lot if you disagree. It is Miss Anthropocene by Grimes,
mm-hmm.
which I also own on clear vinyl.
Which doesn't surprise me at all.
No, it should not surprise you. It is top down a journey of music and post genre and new metal, and it is one, I think it's maybe, if I'm correct, it is the only album on this list to make me cry this year. Delete Forever was the one that got me, because it was
Delete Forever was
my god, it's so good. And it was just like, because, like, the song's about a friend of hers who died because of drugs. And I had a friend who died because of drugs. Mm-hmm. And that shit just hit in the car. I was just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I was very shocked. I was going to be emotionally hit by Grimes. Like, out of all people.
Yeah, it's not what you'd expect.
To well up tears in me was Elon Musk's Baby Mama. Like, it just blows my mind.
Oh, I feel that. But I don't want to talk about the one song that made me cry this year. I don't want to talk about it. Not on a podcast.
Oh, no. You got to tell me after. She's going to be like, dude, it was Korn. It was Korn, dude. It's like, yeah, let's go. But yeah, that's my number four, man. That's my number four. Strong four.
I do think you might disagree with my four, because we've talked a little bit about the artist. Am I about to end the
podcast right now?
I don't think it's, like, that bad, but I think you're just going to disagree with the ranking of it. Or, okay. Like, it maybe it being
I haven't fought you so far, so I think it's time.
Again, like, I don't think it's going to be, like, you're super against it, but I think you will personally disagree. Okay. And that's Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Right.
I strongly disagree. I need you to explain this to me. I need someone to explain to me the hype behind Phoebe Bridgers, because I don't see anything that I haven't seen before and seen better.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the hype. I want to know.
The thing is that I don't have, like, an explanation for you in the way that
this
you
podcast
want.
Is over. But I don't think anyone can.
I will say it's similar to Folklore in the sense that it's like, okay. It is a specific mood. It is a like sit, especially if you're like, it has a few like singles on it that are really good, but it's very much the album that in order to appreciate, you have to just sit and listen to it beginning to end and just like absorb.
Okay.
It's like one of those, then that's part of the reason I wanted to put it on here. Cause it's not just like, oh, this is an album that had some hits, right? I'm talking, this is like an album. This is like a whole work. You know what I mean? So it's like it that in that sense. And it's one of those where if you just listen to it like that, you really appreciate the way that it flows and, you know, the way, again, it's one of those, it needs to be appreciated as an album if you're going to appreciate it.
Okay.
So it's a solid album. It is a very specific mood. And it's like, and again, it's one of those like 2020, I just want to listen and listen to some like, slow-paced sad girl music, because that's what I listen to when I'm stressed out and I need to chill out, is I'll listen to sad girl music.
Sad girl.
Because everything else I listen to is super like hype and fast-paced, and this year I had a lot of moments where I just needed to chill out,
to slow down.
So it was, for me, it was an album that I did listen to a fair amount. And the other part of the, not really an explanation, but while it is, I don't think anything she's doing is necessarily drastically different from what I can tell from what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. Something about how she's doing it works. I don't know what that is. And that's where I'm like, I can't explain it to you, but something about what she's doing does work. And as someone who doesn't listen to a lot of sad indie girl music, her music is some that I like better. I don't know why that is. I listened to a lot of sad indie music this year because that's what my girlfriend listens to. And so by extension, I listened to a lot of it. Phoebe Bridgers, I would have to say, was one of the artists I liked a lot more, especially of like that specific corner of like just very like low-key sad girl stuff.
Low-key? It's like, high-key.
Well, I mean, not low-key sad. I'm talking, like, low-key as in, like, just very, like, slow-paced, you know? Yeah, that kind of sad girl music.
Okay.
Because, But it's...
Are you about to cry? Like, what's going on? Like, Phoebe Bridgers
doesn't make me sad. Again, when I listen to sad girl music, it's like you need to chill out. I don't listen to sad music when I'm alone. Sad. Yeah.
Okay.
If a song makes, like, the song that did make me cry was for a really stupid thing, and I was a little bit wine drunk, which was a large part of it, because I will get in my, like, this has been an emotional year for me.
It has been wild.
I normally feel numb, and then COVID happened, and suddenly I feel everything, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's a very thing, because I'm just like, if Catherine's crying, something's wrong. Because you are a numb boy. It is a shocker to see you feel something.
2020 vibe. It has been, let's see, it's been 2 days since I've last cried.
On God, Catherine has yawned at a funeral.
It's been a fucking year.
She's like, yo, get me out of here. I'm trying to go to Checkers.
Yeah. People tell me, like, this person died, and I go, oh, shit, that sucks.
Tough titty.
Yeah.
All right, number three for me. You ready for this? It is Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana by Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny put out one of the most culturally important albums in the past 5 years, in my opinion, which should be fact.
Bad Bunny is. I haven't listened to it, so I have no opinion on this.
It is Latin excellence to the extreme. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker had put out that album, then a remix mixtape EP, and then he put out a new album just like a week and a half ago that is also really good. And I don't know how he fucking does it. I do not know. He put out two fire albums within a year. And COVID gives artists plenty of time to just make shit. They don't have to tour. There's no touring in between. All right, put album, promo, tour, write, take a break, whatever. Now it's just write and just keep pumping music.
Right.
You know, and so this dude just pumps out music like it's nothing. And it's so rich. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly dense, but it gets you crunk. Like, it gets you, like, it just makes you want to fucking party. Mm-hmm. You know, and he puts out like a few songs that are 7 minutes long, and very few artists in Latin genres are afraid to go past a 4 minute mark because of radio play. But he put out a 7 minute song that hit everywhere on TikTok, and it's like almost three songs in one. And they're just, it's so incredibly well versed, you know, and he just knocked crazy bangers all year. He had a show during COVID times in, like, the cold in New York, in, like, the Bronx, on a bus, and just drove through the street, performing for people. When people talk about the Beatles performing on a roof and say it's iconic, this motherfucker performed solo, no hype man, nobody with him, in a black leather jacket in the middle of October on a bus.
That's
for
crazy.
The people in the Bronx in New York, and they just drove slow, and he was like playing hits the whole time, and that was a 2 hour concert, and you can see like the helicopter shot of like him like slowing down traffic.
Oh my god!
And people are chasing after the bus on a bike, just running, screaming his name.
Jesus!
And Bad Bunny is one of the most important artists of our lifetime.
I do firmly believe that. I think it's interesting how TikTok has shaped what music became popular this year, because I think while I was preparing for this, I was scrolling through like top songs 2020, that kind of thing, to see if there are any that I was forgetting about, and like half of the songs I saw in there, I'm just like, I hear this all day scrolling through TikTok, like all of these songs, you know. So I think that's especially if you look at the global charts.
I
think that's a large part of the reason Phoebe Bridgers got so big, was because of TikTok.
Was it because of TikTok?
Well, one of her songs
is like always played.
Motion Sickness became like a TikTok dance meme thing, and I think that's how a lot of people found her. Can you send me it?
I swear I've seen it.
Motion Sickness?
Yeah, can you just send me a TikTok with Motion Sickness?
Well, if you watch our friend Megan's TikToks, she has a TikTok dancing to Motion Sickness. She is deep on Phoebe Bridgers' TikTok.
I'm well aware, man. I am well aware.
Yeah.
I just want somebody to explain to me the hype. Our friend Bianca couldn't explain the hype. She was like, you know, it's just amazing. She's really good. That's like her thing for every artist. It's just a whole different sound. And she's not a different sound.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And again, I'm not trying to argue that she has an extremely unique sound, album, etc.
And mind you, I listen to Eurobeat, and it's literally the same shit.
But I think it's really solid. It's good music. And again, whatever she's doing, it's working.
I can feel that. I think I just haven't crossed that bridge yet.
So many
artists haven't gotten into
My girlfriend loves her. When I mentioned to her, oh, I'm making a top 10 albums list for 2020. Yeah. She goes, oh, what about Punisher? Have you tried Punisher? She literally sent me Punisher. 8 times and then threw in a couple other albums in between.
Man.
So, yeah.
Wild. So what's your number three?
So this one's going to be a short one because you've already talked about it, but I already forgot how you pronounced it, but the Grimes album.
Oh, Miss Anthropocene, number three, solid, solid, man.
It was just great. It's for you covered. You said everything I need to say. I like it. It's a good album.
Awesome. Moving on to number two. Yeah. All right, number one and two, very difficult for me. I literally my wife was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you staring at the wall? I'm just like, I'm trying to think between these two albums, like which one's number one, like which one's like. All right, number two is Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist. Mm. This is Freddie Gibbs. If you made him rap on a Death Grip song, he'd rip it. That man can flow on anything you give him.
Mm-hmm.
If you play a beat with two pencils and a binder right there, he's going to rap on it. And he can flow on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to drop classic albums for the past 2 years post getting out of jail is insane to me.
Yeah.
And for him to work with The Alchemist, who hasn't produced anything that I felt has been inspired in the past 8 years, for him to be like, let me make some new shit. Let me try something new with a different artist that I've never worked with before. And to make fire.
Mm-hmm.
Is crazy to me. He almost reawoken The Alchemist, and this album is flawless from beginning to end. And it just hits, and it's so smooth. Like Alfredo, and there's a whole bunch of meanings Alfredo, there's this whole thing. And so, you know, it's very simple, very very to the point, very it just sounds so good. It's like that evening drive home after work and the sun's going down. This is that album. And it's just like the perfect soundtrack for those night drives. And it just fucking hits. And it's really when hip hop heads are afraid of hip hop and it's all chains and shit. This is that album. Freddie Gibbs is the number one rapper right now, in my opinion. I just have to clarify that. This is my opinion.
Yeah, I'll have to go listen to him because I have not. I have nothing to add.
He can adapt to any style. He can be trap, dope, or he can be conscious rap. He could do it all. He doesn't do conscious rap, but it's just he speaks from the soul. He's a lot like Tupac, where they're just not the great. Tupac was never the greatest lyricist, but when he spoke and he rapped, you felt it, and that's what you get when listening to Freddie Gibbs. Is you really feel it. You really feel that he's lived through the images he's talking about, because he has. You know, jail changes you, man. It makes you a better rapper, apparently. So that is my number two.
All right. I will say my first two were easy. Those were the first ones I wrote down in a ranking because I'm I know this. So number two for me is Everything is Beautiful by Princess Nokia.
Yo, my God. Princess Nokia. She's fucking great, man.
She's so great. It was a great album. It's the album I listened to when I just wanted to be happy.
Pretty fire.
Listen to some fun music. The song,
unexpected.
Yeah, the song Shit or Sugar Honey Iced Tea.
Okay.
Fucking slaps. Okay. That's a great song. It's just such a good album. I wish I had a better way to explain why I love it so much. But I just love her. I love this album. I think it's one of her more lighthearted albums, which I think I needed this year, because I think out of all of them, it is the only lighthearted album on my list.
Holy shit.
So
I have heavy. The only one that's light.
The mainly more lighthearted. And it's the been tone a dark is year. Fun. It's just it's just fun music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I really love that album. Go listen to it if you haven't. And also the album cover is a lot of fun.
Bet. All right, number one.
Let's hear it.
Insert drum roll. All right. Sawayama by Rina Sawayama. That is honestly the number one album for me. It's me and Megan have talked about it, and she was like, oh, this is like my number one album. I was like, yeah, that 100% number one album for me. It took a long time for me like go through this list and be like, what is number one for me? Like, what is the one that has just like blown my mind? And it's that album. That's the album that's really blown my mind.
I will say one of the main reasons it's lower on my list is because I just didn't listen to the whole album a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know it well enough to be like... But...
It is... Yeah. It is just, like... I don't know. It is unrelenting and unapologetic and fearless. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I want from a lot of artists, is, like, really to be fearless. To really adventure out of what genre is. Because I start to understand as I get older what Thom Yorke means by guitar music is really boring.
Yeah, I need I more finally of her. Understood. I need more of her, less of Shawn Mendes.
Less of I'm oh my very sick God. Of
him. I'm we can so talk about that after Shawn the Mendes. Podcast
because I'm just going to talk about it for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Rina Sawayama number one. Honestly, just unbridled passion and fire in that music, and it's incredibly truthful. You know, and it's an amazing album by such an interesting and amazing artist.
Yeah.
Like, it's really 10 out of 10 for me.
For sure.
So, number one.
Number one for me. Anyone who knows my Spotify Wrapped knows what this is. This is a purely biased choice.
Gang.
My favorite album. I don't know a single other person who listened to this album more than once.
Gang.
I listen to it a lot. The entire album is on my top songs of 2020.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
It is Gaslighter by
the Chicks. Yeah. Beep, beep, beep. Air horns.
I've always loved the Chicks. They dropped a new album. It was really good. It became my comfort music in 2020. Like every time I was like really stressed or anxious, I'm like, I'm just gonna sit here and I'm gonna listen to the Chicks and I'm gonna feel okay again. That is what I did. And because of that, it is quite high up there. I love that album. I also like, it's great music if you're like pissed off or if you're sad. And the thing is, it's like, so it's about like her divorce, and it has, this is an album that has zero relation to my life at all. Like, there is, I can't think of a single Catherine's song divorce? That I'm like, I relate to this. Like, all of them are like, this does not apply to me, but I still enjoy it so much. Like, it's one of those albums that Catherine's despite divorce. The complete lack of relation, I just live and die by it. So anyways, but that's also because I have a lot of nostalgia for the Chicks. I love the Chicks. Honestly, and then they came out with this album and I was all in. And a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that top album, and that's totally fine, because like I said, this is my personal favorite top album. I'm not trying to say it's the best album of 2020, because I don't think it is objectively the best album, but it is my favorite.
It's your best album.
It
Correct.
Is my best album. So. Correct. Because really? I listened to, like, I couldn't have it not be number one for anyone who saw my Spotify Wrapped.
Really underappreciated, not talked about enough.
Mm-hmm. It really barely got talked about at all, which the thing, especially nowadays, no one likes country music. That's cool. I don't like most country music, but I think people are really quick to, like, ignore country music that they could potentially enjoy. You know, I think people are just quick to make judgments when they don't bother listening to it. That being said, I do think a lot of country music is trash. I also think Shawn Mendes is trash, and yet everyone still listens to him. So, anyways, those are my thoughts.
We did it. Mm-hmm. We saved music.
I'm pretty sure that's what this podcast
was. We did it. It's over. We can finally stop doing these. It's not over. We're not done.
It's not over.
It's never over. It's never over until I die, I guess. I don't know.
Well, shit. Okay.
Facts.
You die or I get married, whichever happens first.
Holy shit. Wait, you can't stop then? Because I'm married, and I'm doing this.
Well, I was implying that it's going to be a long-ass time before I get married.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I haven't been dating anyone for 6.5 years. like you have been. So
that's true. Yeah. The flex.
Yeah. Try 7-ish months.
Oh man, dude, that was prior to 6 years. That was my longest relationship, 7 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that's roughly my longest relationship before this. So
seven's a lucky number, man. You make it past December, you did it. There's no stopping you.
That's actually where the line is.
Honestly.
Yeah.
You did it.
So what you're saying is marriage is marriage. Next.
Yeah. Right. I mean, honestly, it'll be completely left field. It'll be out of nowhere. Like, yo, Catherine got married. Like, in our friend group, everyone's minds would explode. Mm-hmm. Everyone's minds would just, like, warp.
I'll just elope, like, but not because of COVID, just to keep you guys on your toes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
I'm still processing the fact that you're married now. In case you're wondering why my reaction is low, especially now, I'm still processing.
I know. I'm married. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it's been fun.
It's been fun. Your official statement.
It's been fun. It's been all right. I just wear a ring now. That's about it.
Oh, shit.
And then when I refer to her, I call it wife. Call her wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like,
that is a change. You know,
labels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really a labels thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's going.
It's
from,
not like the olden days where you'd move in together after you got married and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I think marrying someone before you ever lived with them is such a bad idea.
It is a no-no.
Such a bad idea.
I firmly believe. Yeah. Because it's. You got to work out the kinks and the frictions because you're living with another person. You're sharing space.
It's a whole different all the thing. Time. Yeah, like living with someone is so different from just being around them.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's been good. Mm-hmm. So what a way to end the year, Catherine. True. What a way. Thank you to all the listeners and to new listeners. It has been fun, and it will be fun, because we'll be back in the new year officially with Simple Life. Mm-hmm. So I got to watch season one between
very
now and then. We have to watch season one. We have to commit.
Yeah.
Leave a review. Leave a 5-star review, dude. We're blowing up. We're going to get that. We're going to get that sponsorship.
Which one? We joke about a lot of them.
Which one? DoorDash would be dope. If we had a DoorDash code,
ooh yeah, it would be.
That'd
dope.
Be fire. That'd be
I want to get a sponsorship from one of those places that like sends us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Sweaters.
I just want things. You know.
I just
things.
Want things.
I want things.
I just want things. Yeah. Deodorant, razors,
mm-hmm.
Shirts. Who else sponsors shit? It'd be cool if we got headphones.
What about a Blue Apron?
Blue Apron. No. No. The other one.
Oh, there are too many of them. There's HelloFresh.
HelloFresh is like the one now. Blue Apron's like not.
Yeah,
a thing
Blue
Apron.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You got me.
What about what's it those it's like the fad now with like the rollout mattresses.
Oh, yeah.
Purple beds.
Casper,
purple. Yeah, there's so many beds.
A
Which
lot
one's
of beds,
the best
yeah.
bed? Mm-hmm. I want those sponsors to come and talk to us and like compete.
I got one from Walmart.
You got a Casper bed?
It's like, it's not a Casper bed. It's like I think the brand name is like Very Good Products or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they have a standard that they have to hold themselves up.
But you know what? It's comfortable and it was cheap, so I have no complaints.
And then your phone broke.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. All right. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. That's about it.
Great.
I had no way to close it. Happy holidays. Have fun and listen to us all the time. Play this at your family's Christmas, at your family's Hanukkah. Play this all the time. And they can be like, why is that guy cursing so much?
I'm pretty sure it's most parents' reaction to our podcast.
That was your parents' reaction.
No, they don't. They haven't listened to it yet.
They haven't listened to it yet?
No.
Yo, it's not
I just
late.
Told them they may not want to listen to it so much because you curse a lot.
So he's got quite the potty mouth. And so this fucking motherfucker in the back of the car, you know, just cursing all the time. That's me, though. Yeah.
Great.
I have not changed. Marriage has not changed me.
Definitely not.
Woo! Happy New Year. Bye.